It's Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time, and I have a very special guest here. I say that a lot, but I mean it because I love this. This is so good, and it's so good for our sport. Don't you think, Toby Dunlop?
Absolutely, Pete Cimarroni. Absolutely. You know, you and I go back a long way, back to our high school days.
I know. You wrestled 26 for the Fairport Harding Skippers, right?
Absolutely.
Out in Ashtabula County, is that?
Lake County.
Lake County.
Small school on the lake.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. And I was 32, and I remember, who was your 32?
I think it was Jim Gurley.
Jim Gurley. I think there was another guy after that.
It could have been Mike or Mark Barish.
Maybe. But I beat him, and I beat him on a last second fireman's takedown. So it was like, it was pretty cool. He's pretty good. He was pretty good.
Yeah, unfortunately, at Fairport, we always had the head football coach.
Yes.
Would coach the wrestling team. And a couple of years, the football coach was not a wrestler.
No.
And we had good athletes, but we really didn't have the technical aspect.
You guys were good athletes.
But my senior year, a guy by the name of Harry Peets came in from Newberry.
Okay.
And he knew wrestling. And unfortunately, though, it was too late by then.
Yeah. It's a tough sport if you don't have the technique.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Even back in our day, in the Stone Age, right? But I remember I was also on the football team. I was starting center.
Likewise.
Okay, right? And so it was back then when, you know, little guys like us could do shit like that. But anyhow, we played against the Oros brothers.
Yes.
Tom and Kerry.
Absolutely.
Well, for you guys that don't, Tom ended up being a punter in the NFL for how many years? Probably dozen years.
Yeah, at least. You know,
San Francisco, Miami. And
Miami, San Francisco.
And he punted, and I think he even played backup quarterback for Ohio State.
Yes, he did.
Right? So Kerry was the quarterback. Tommy was the punter and kicker and whatever else he was doing. And we were beating you guys. I think it was 7-6. And he kicked a 42-yard field goal. And back then, that was like kicking a 70-yard field goal.
Yeah.
And he beat us with time expired. So I wasn't very happy about that. But anyhow, some good memories out of Fairport. But welcome.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you, Terry. I mean, Terry. Of course, Terry Armelli, right? We just talked about Terry Armelli, Guy Trinetti. And now this is the triple threat of Toby Dunlop. Toby, tell me about what's happening with officiating.
Well,
in our wonderful sport.
Well, number one, we are at the bottom for numbers.
Gotcha.
We are, we're shaking the bushes.
Yeah.
Trying to recruit new officials in the sport.
Yeah.
We barely have officials to cover our 15 sectionals in the Northeast District.
Oh, my God.
We have to go, off the list.
Yeah.
And bring in officials who did not submit the proper credentials.
I mean, are you pulling them out of the stands? I mean, what the heck's going on?
Well, not really. These are officials who are licensed, but they indicated at the beginning of the season that they weren't interested in doing postseason.
Wow.
So I have to go, begging them to come and officiate a
And it's
sectional.
A good dollar amount, too, isn't it? I mean, you're getting paid a decent
amount. Relatively speaking, it's worth an official's while. It's worth its time. But, unfortunately, the postseason tournaments that's sponsored by the OHSAA, we pay a good fee, but it's not as good as what you would see in midseason.
Sure. Well, Kinston tournament, I'm sure, gets a big number, and the other tournaments, Brecksville, et cetera. Toby, what is your title with the OHSAA?
I hold the title of Director of Officiating Development for the OHSAA.
Okay.
I also have another role that I work for the Northeast District Board as the sport coordinator for wrestling.
Okay.
And what that entails, I'm sort of the liaison between the district board and the sectional and district tournament directors.
Wow.
So,
you see it firsthand.
Oh, man. Absolutely. From the ground floor up.
It breaks my heart. I mean, it really does. And, on my side of it, as a coach, finding great assistants, they're so few and far between. I mean, I've been blessed that I've had phenomenal assistant coaches, but I lose them every couple of years.
Yeah.
And so when I retired, I recommended that my assistant coach, who was a great young man in his late 20s, become the head coach, and they went a different way. But they had to because one of the teachers in the school used to coach and wanted the job. And then he sort of, and I just think it was a bad transition.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think that you're seeing, our sport, I don't know, man. I don't know if we do a good job selling it and negotiating it and just being charming about it. You know what I mean? It's almost like we sort of bite ourselves in the ankle, bite ourselves, or, you know, shoot ourselves in the foot, I think is even a better term.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, back in the day, I think our younger generations just have so many other things to do these
don't
days.
They? Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, officiating isn't one of them.
No, it isn't. Yeah. It isn't. And, you know, and a lot of times too, it's an interesting dynamic too that's occurring. You know, like I could not rattle you or Denny Palmer or Sandy Kay. You guys just, you know, you had thick skinned, but you also were competent and knew your job and, you know, were self-confident. Today, forget about it. Man, I could the rabbit ears that are on the mat are just ridiculous. And they just go right to the atom bomb. You're out of here. You know what I mean? It was like crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, that's, unfortunately, that's a cop-out for an official.
Isn't it?
To go, as you mentioned, as you called it, the atom bomb.
Yeah.
You know, throwing coach out for unsportsmanlike conduct.
I mean. Have some, you know, ability to be, I guess, man up, you know, for lack of a better term. Yeah. You know, it's just, it's sad. So I was thrown out of two tournaments in my career.
Pete.
I know, right? So Toby, here's the first one I got thrown out. And we talked about this a little earlier, but I'm gonna dish this. I've never told this on air. So I was a assistant coach at Reynoldsburg High School. I was going to law school, Capital University. This was the 81-82 season. Okay, so I just finished Beechwood and finished my college at John Carroll. I was actually taking a break from my master's. I was at John Carroll. So I go down to coach at Reynoldsburg, and they had one state place winner in their history of their school. So we were doing good, right? And we were at this tournament during the middle of the year at Columbus Waterson or something like that, you know what I mean? Or Bishop Rady or something, one of those, right? And so they had a female official, and she wasn't bad, okay? But she got out of position, and a guy on my team did a roll, a forward roll, and kicked her right in the left breast. Knocked her out. And she was like, and she's just, you know, she was in pain, right? So she's in pain. She's rolling over, and she's missing the whole match. I mean, the match keeps going. She couldn't stop it, and there was no other. So I'm screaming. I go onto the mat, and I put my hands on both the wrestlers, and I said, stop. And she threw me out. Jeez. But, and then I got in her face. She goes, what are you doing? I'm just, what are you doing? You're the match is going on and you're not doing anything. So that was the first time. The second time, so she got the breast shot. The second time I was coaching as a head coach in 90, I think it was 90 or 91. And we were about to win our first tournament in like 10 years. This was back when we reinvigorated the Beechwood program. When it was almost disbanded. My two assistant coaches, Jeff Toland, God rest his soul, and Scott Peters, they sabotaged me, right? So they got into cahoots and got a penalty called on each of them. And you know that, right?
Great.
Penalty. They don't get kicked out. I got
head coach
kicked out.
Goes. Yes. Right?
So that's my two times getting kicked out. So that said, what is the craziest thing that you ever had to do as an official and the craziest match? Was there anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, there was one incident that I always remember, and I always tell this story.
Yeah.
It was at the, at that time, Louisville held a sectional tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And Louisville was there, and Kenston was there. And,
sure.
I don't know if you remember Mike Rovtar.
Oh, yeah.
Longtime coach at Kenston.
Great, great coach.
Great official.
Yeah, great official.
He was the head coach at Kenston.
Sweet guy, too, yeah. Man. Really good guy.
And there was a wrestler from Ravenna and a wrestler from Kenston that I think it was at the time was 175. I can't remember. But they were rivals.
Okay.
And they were really hard-nosed wrestlers. And,
yeah.
The wrestler from Ravenna's father was in a wheelchair. And the tournament manager let him come up to the edge of the mat in the wheelchair so he could watch his son wrestle.
Sure.
So he could have a good perspective. Well, unfortunately, this father in the wheelchair was yelling at the Kenston wrestler.
Oh.
Instead of watching his son, he was more worried about the Kenston wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
So Mike, he says, Toby, you know, this guy is interfering with the match.
Yeah.
So I asked the gentleman, please, this is a privilege to be here at Matt's side.
And, that's right. Yeah.
You know, let's act professionally and
with some couth
in a good sporting manner. And no, he just continued.
Oh my God.
So finally, I stopped the
you
match.
You tossed him out of his chair. You put a half on him.
I went up to the tournament manager and said, I would like this gentleman removed from the floor.
Good, yeah.
And the tournament manager looks at me. He goes, Toby, he's in a wheelchair. And, I, you know, forgive me for saying this, but I said, well, then roll him out of here.
Exactly. I like that.
No malintent, but he was really interfering with the match.
Yeah. You would think the guy would have some, like, gratefulness. You know, he's able to have that opportunity. You know,
absolutely. I mean, he was giving a place of privilege that none of the fans get.
I know. It's crazy. Well, I had another thing, and it wasn't at Fairport, but it was at Newberry. I was wrestling Newberry. And I think I had the same kind of thing where I beat the kid in the last 10 seconds with the firemen's, but I hurt my knee. I had a bad knee. And my great aunt was in the stands. Augusta DeSantis was in the stands, and she saw me get hurt. She came running on the stand, and she put her hands on the other wrestler. And she had to be, you know, not, she wasn't escorted, but she was told, don't do that. And then the other time that I thought was the funniest is, I was coaching with Coach Imerino, Dominic Imerino. I was assistant coach, right? At Brush, this was in the mid-80s, and we were wrestling against Mayfield, big rivalry, Brush-Mayfield, right? And he was doing his thing, you know, how he was, you know, arguing and negotiating for a call against this kid, and the kid's mother came out of the stands and kicked him in the ass.
Wow.
Yeah, I just kicked him right in the ass. So anyway, a lot of crazy shit, right? But that said, you know, you were known as a very, not only good coach, but a very good technical, not coach, very good technical official. Toby, who was your, not idol, but who was your mentor? Who did you want to emulate?
It was Denny Palmer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was fortunate, you know, I had Denny Palmer when I was coming up, and Sandy Cagio.
Oh, Sandy's the best.
He was another one of my mentors.
Right.
And, you know, Ronnie Hegedish. So back in the day when we came into the association.
Oh, you had Hall of Famers to look at.
Oh, absolutely.
Don Ferris, you know, and, Bernie Rye, you know, all the
you know, they trained the Armellis, the Dunlaps, the Trinettis, the Barons, you name it. We were very fortunate.
That was the golden age, and you guys were second generation golden age. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, I would say so. Looking back in hindsight.
Yeah, I mean they just knew their way around the mat and just knew how to be in position.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so who do you see today as that? Who are some of the referees that you have respect for?
Well, one of the younger officials that I really have respect for, 5 years, and he's made his first state tournament.
Wow.
And in fact, he's one of your guests on your show.
Okay.
Mark Hayhurst.
Oh, yeah. He's terrific.
And Mark also is a college official.
Sure.
So I'm trying to talk him into, hey, you know, stay at the high school level. We need you here.
There's
plenty of college officials
out
there.
Well, we need guys like him to go out and recruit.
Yeah.
Come on, bring in some of your buddies, you know what I mean? So that's pretty cool. Well, you know, we got a good base of what we wanted to talk about, but Blood Time's about who inspired you to make you, and what did you do with that inspiration? And sometimes it's a coach. Sometimes it's a parent. Most times it's a parent. Sometimes it's a teacher. But I want to talk about that in the second segment, Toby. And I really want to get inside of who Toby Dunlap is.
Absolutely.
We can. Great. This is Coach Cimarroni. We'll be right back with Toby Dunlap. This is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time.
Infinite Search Solutions, recruitment and placement search services at its finest. Northeast Ohio's premier, easy, fast, and simple way to find the great and perfect candidate that you deserve. Matt Burns and his incredible team at Infinite Search Solutions are terrific. We are proud to have them as a sponsor. Reach out to Matt at 440-249-0485 or at their website, www.infinitesearch.com. SERVINFINITE.com.
Hello, this is Frank Favaro, president and founder of ServeCentric Coaching, and I'm super excited to be sponsoring the Undeniable Podcast. When we talk about business today, everyone's looking to create an advantage. But how do you find it? Everything is copied with technology. Innovation is hard to come by. We can find it with customer experience. The experience that you provide to your customers and to your employees determines the value you bring to the marketplace. We will create a plan for you that will get your business to the next level. You can find us at www.serve-centric.com. That's serve-centric. Serve, S-E-R-V-E hyphen, centric, C-E-N-T-R-I-C.com. And you can reach me personally at 330-715-5361. Thank you.
And we're back with Toby Dunlop. Toby, in the first segment, you know, we talked a little bit about our sport and a little bit of officiating. But Toby, you got into wrestling and, you know, you got in, I think, late, right? Like we did, we all did, right? I don't know. When was your first year you started?
I was in seventh grade, junior high.
Seventh grade. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, I didn't start till ninth grade. So I was the worst kid on the team. But who in your formative years would you say inspired you?
Oh, definitely, hands down, my father.
Okay.
My father was a teacher.
Okay.
And I'll tell you a story in this.
What's his name?
Thoburn. Toby, as well.
Okay, great.
Unfortunately, he's no longer with us.
Yeah,
but,
I just lost my dad, too. Yeah. So.
But he was a high school teacher, taught business,
cool.
and typing.
Wow.
So one summer.
They all did.
Yeah.
Typing and bookkeeping and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So I thought, you know.
Where at?
Fairport.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm fantastic. All right, great.
So I decided I'm going to take a typing course in the summer from him.
Sure.
You know, it's my father. It's going to be really easy. And
right,
I'm just going to, you know, glide
breeze
right through it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, about mid-course, I raised my hand and I wanted to ask a question. So I raised my hand and my dad pointed at me and I said, Dad, what about this?
Right.
And I can't remember what the question was, but he immediately dressed me down in front of the whole class. He said, Mr. Dunlap, in this class, I'm your teacher.
Exactly.
I am not your father.
I like that.
That's the kind of man he was.
Wow.
That's who
the
I tried to
The decorum of professionalism.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. We don't have that anymore. I mean, you know, we've lost that.
Well, you know, back in the day, you know, when we got in trouble in school, we not only got in trouble at school, but when we got home, we were in more trouble.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that is the norm anymore.
It's not the norm, but, you know, I found that at Chagrin. The parents were fantastic. They really believed in our system. And Beachwood particularly, the first time as my head coach, when I was a head coach, really believed in that. But it's rarer.
Yeah.
It's getting rarer, you know. So what did you do with that? What did you do with that inspiration that your father gave you?
Well, you know, I think if you ask a lot of people who know me very well,
sure.
I tend to be a perfectionist.
Yes.
And maybe to a fault.
Well,
but
it's okay.
I think it's better than being
sloppy. You know what I mean?
You know, in getting there,
right.
I try to do all the right things.
Sure.
I try to be professional, and I hope that I am.
Yeah. Well, I knew that when I had you as an official, my kid was in good hands. So I think that's as high praise as I can give you.
Another mantra of mine is fair play.
Sure.
You know, across the board.
Yeah. Yep.
The rules are the rules, and
if
you break the rules, you'll be penalized.
Exactly right. I like that. Swift, fair, and just, you know, and consistent, right?
Consistent. Yeah, and consistently.
Yeah, consistent.
Consistency for an official, I think that's one of the most important.
I think anything in any area of responsibility is consistency is so huge. I mean, as a parent, right, you got to know where your mom and dad are coming from. As a coach, you got to know where he's coming from or she's coming from. As a teacher, as an official, you know, and so you took that in the business world and you went to work for a pretty doggone good company, Lubrizol. Tell me a little bit about what you did there.
I was a patent agent.
All right.
I handle intellectual property.
A few
patents, trademarks.
Sure.
Secrecy agreements, anything to do with the intellectual property.
Sure.
I would handle.
Gotcha.
I handled my own business area.
Okay.
The personal care business at Lubrizol, which at the time was a pretty large business.
Sure.
And
they make lubricants and other
things. Engine oil additives.
Sure.
Polymers.
Okay.
You run in a pair of Nike shoes. The foam and the outer rubbery material is purchased from Lubrizol.
And they're one of the biggest Lake County companies, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they're right on the border there of Lake and Cuyahoga County. Right?
Correct.
Yeah, exactly.
In Wycliffe.
And so it's interesting too because I was an owner, actually still am an owner in a blockchain company. And blockchain, I think, has a lot of application for patents, don't they?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Particularly about the secrecy and the custody of care and all that type of thing. So it's interesting what's going to happen with patents as we matriculate through this AI, if you will. You know?
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting endeavor in terms of intellectual property, what's generated through AI.
Exactly. Or how AI will actually encrypt. Right?
Yes.
The patent, you know what I mean? And the block, incorporating machine learning with the blockchain, how it will encrypt and maybe cut out the need for a human, except for maybe the one who has the key in between the two nodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Type of
mm-hmm.
thing. So it's interesting. But you said that you retired earlier when we were talking off air, but you're back working.
Yes, I retired for a year.
Okay.
I couldn't take it. My mind was just blank. And,
You need to be stimulated,
yes.
Right? Yeah, we do. It's so sad that I don't ever want to retire. I really don't. I'm working harder, smarter, faster, stronger, more frenetically than I ever have in my life because I started a company that's based on some recipes I created in the food industry. And it's just like I can't wait to get up. In the morning, you know what I mean? So are you feeling that energy back?
Oh, absolutely. It's stimulating my mind.
Sure.
So yeah, I'm back in the workforce.
At Saint-Gobain?
Saint-Gobain.
It's
a company out of Paris, France.
Sure, sure.
So they basically building materials. Biggest, one of their biggest brands is CertainTeed. I handle, I'm on the... it's sort of a specialty. It's a smaller division, but it is called Norpro.
Okay,
and basically they deal in ceramics for catalyst supports for making chemicals.
Sure, sure. And do you like it?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah. So was there anybody in your coaching career or in your business career that inspired you to do what you've done with Lubrizol and now Saint-Gobain?
Oh, absolutely. I had a mentor before I was with Lubrizol. I was with a company called BF Goodrich.
Oh, yeah.
And that sort of morphed.
Just a small little company.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, that morphed into Lubrizol through leverage buyouts and the division that I work for.
Okay.
And the attorney who hired me into the Goodrich IP department his name is Joe Powell.
Okay.
And just a super guy, taught me a lot.
Okay.
Taught me to, always go to the nth degree.
Right.
Leave no stone unturned and... I've taken that in my career.
I
and
love
it's,
that.
It's paid off.
Yeah, and that dogged determination of being a wrestler too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Just,
I mean, underlying
dog with a bone.
You know, Pete.
Yeah.
Everything we do.
Yeah.
Is sort of has its genesis from our wrestling years.
No doubt. No doubt. The room, and I get so many calls from guys that I coach, and now I've got guys that I coach that are in their 60s. Right.
Yeah.
I know it's pretty. Matter of fact. Trinetti was sitting across from me last week and he was saying it was 40 years ago we coached together. 40 years ago. I'm like, oh my God, you're right, dude. It's crazy. Yeah. But I get calls, guys anywhere from, I talked to a guy who's 20 years old today. He's going to come over to my house. We're going to have dinner. And he was on my 21 team at Chagrin to guys that are 60, 61 years old that are, getting close to retirement and do some consulting for me. And they say, Coach, I can't find what was in the room anywhere. Yeah. Anywhere. There's nothing that inspires me like this. It's just like, how does that happen? How did that happen in our world? That no company, no organization, no charitable, civic responsibility can give you that same feeling of community, of camaraderie, esprit de corps that the wrestling room gave us.
You could go anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And if you meet a fellow wrestler or a member of a wrestler's family,
yes,
it's an instant bond.
Right, right. The only thing else that I have like that is that being an Armenian, my mother's Armenian, I'm half Armenian. And William Saroyan, very famous writer, our poet patriarch, if you will, said, when two Armenians meet, they form a country. You know, I got chills, man. I feel the same way about wrestling. So like whenever I have, and I've been blessed now to do this, you'll be my 109th time interviewing somebody in Blood Time.
Awesome.
Actually, excuse me, 110th time, because Guy was 109. That I have that same bond, that same feeling. And, you know, we saw each other, you know, in the mid 70s, the first time. You were wrestling probably Stu Singer, I think.
Well, there was, Steve Kale.
Steve Kale.
Danny Rubin.
Danny Rubin. Yeah, Danny was.
Jeff Sorkin.
Jeffy Sorkin, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Man. They were studs.
Oh, absolutely.
And Stu Singer was my guy. So you must have wrestled Danny Rubin. Because Danny was the 26 and 74, and you're class 74, right?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and Stu was the 26 and class 75. But I wrestled all those guys every day in practice. Sorkin was a wild man. But Sorkin was the 19. He was the 119.
Yeah. Well, I think the week we wrestled Beechwood, I think I dropped to 19.
Did you? Yeah. Okay. Did you wrestle Sorkin?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That must have been a barn burner.
Oh, barn burner. But he sort of got winded at the end.
Did he?
But he still beat me.
I love it. And then you had a kid that was 112 pounder and they couldn't make weight and it wrestled all the way up to 32. It was, or maybe that was after you graduated.
Yeah,
I think that was my senior year.
Okay,
I think that's what happened.
Call that one. Yeah,
he was pretty good too. He was a young, lighter weight, but anyhow, all that, you know. So you had great mentors coaching. You had great mentors in business, as you said. How did you give back as a businessman, as a referee, as an official,
what I'm doing now, you know, the DOD or Director of Officiating Development,
sure,
is as well as the work I do for the district board.
Yeah.
Well, that's my way of giving back.
Sure.
Because the time that I put into it, mm-hmm, is just phenomenal, particularly from starting in August through, you know, March.
That's a commitment.
Absolutely.
That's a commitment, man.
You know, no less than, 50 to 100 emails a day.
Oh, wow.
From across the state.
Oh, wow.
It's my way of giving back. I really enjoy it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Toby, when I, you know, my only thing that I ever wanted as a head coach, or as a coach, was to graduate great humans. Great wrestling really comes easy if you got a great human as the foundation, right? I mean, yeah, I got to have a little talent, obviously. But the great human has the work ethic, has the determination, has the, you know, drive, blah, blah, blah. Intellect, whatever. And I only ask two things of my kids when they graduate: pay it forward and give back.
Yes.
And here sits a guy that does both.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for gracing this studio and for doing what you've done for our sport all these years. And Toby, I could not give you higher praise and higher respect for what you've done and what you've meant, not only to the sport, but also to me, because I've respected that from afar, if you will, and sometimes close up.
You know, thank you, Pete, especially coming from you. I mean, as a wrestler, mm-hmm, as a coach, as an official.
Yes.
Tell the folks about your officiating.
I officiated from 1978 to 2001.
Absolutely.
So 23 years. And I did some regionals for college. I never could do the state because I was always coaching most of the time, but and I think, you know, gave me a perspective, right? So I understand and respected what you guys did. So I, when I question a call, I was darn sure that I was right, or at least felt that I was right. So it wasn't whimsical.
Yeah, when from an official's perspective, when Pete Cimarroni came to the table to ask a question,
you paid attention.
You better know the answer.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Well, Toby, please leave the audience, leave the community with a request, I guess is a better term, to come out and officiate.
Well, we need you.
Okay.
It's very gratifying, as we just discussed.
Sure.
But in terms of, I'm going to sort of focus this on women.
Okay, please do.
Because of girls.
Yes, the proliferation of female wrestling.
In Ohio, in particular in Ohio.
Yes.
Our sport is growing.
Yes, I know.
Because of our young lady wrestlers.
That's awesome.
I would like to see a lot of young ladies
take
up the profession.
I love it.
We need you.
Okay. You heard that. From his lips to God's ears, women, put on those shoes, put on that whistle, put on that wrestling officiating uniform and get out there and help the ladies proliferate.
Oh, and the guys.
Absolutely. Come on. We need you. The tent's big and wide, right?
Absolutely.
The tent's big and wide and warm.
There's room for everybody.
Big and wide and warm. So fantastic words. Thank you, Toby Dunlop.
Thank you, Pete.
Absolutely. This is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time. We are all blood. Love to all.
I just love the mission at Edwin's. My friend Brandon Krastowski at Edwin's Leadership and Restaurant Institute brings a unique approach at giving formerly incarcerated adults a foundation in the hospitality industry. What a marvelous mission. Thank you, Brandon, for bringing these wonderful people back into productive society. Every human being, regardless of their past, has the right to a fair and equal future. Give them a try because their food is magnificent. Their service is first rate, and Brandon is a true Cleveland light. Edwinsrestaurant.org. We love you.
We want to thank my good friend, Kevin Goodman, the managing partner at Blue Bridge Networks, as our newest partner and sponsor. Please reach out to them for all of your managed IT services needs, cloud computing needs, data center services requirements, and all infrastructure solutions services. Kevin Goodman and Blue Bridge Networks. Seek them out at 1-866-990-2583. That's 1-866-990-2583. And at info@bbnllc.com.